Good morning. As always, it's a privilege to open God's Word with you. This morning, our subject is wisdom. What's your source? Our text is James 3, 13 through 18. Now, ladies, I'm going to ask you something that is going to require some self-control. You have a handout on your seat, but it's a handout we're going to go over at the end. It's an application sheet. So I'm going to treat you like big girls who will pay attention to the here and now, and we'll go over that later. Now, if you see your neighbor reading it, then just give her a firm right arm and tell her it's from me. Let's begin our time with prayer. Dear God, thank you so much for the great privilege of opening up your word, of being able to fellowship freely, and being able to assemble and come to your house. Lord, please give us teachable hearts. Please help us to be convicted where we need to be convicted, encouraged where we need to be encouraged. And help us to properly and gently exhort one another and encourage and edify one another. We praise you, Lord. Amen. Open up the text with me, if you will. James 3, chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Is your wisdom from God or man? Read along with me. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The next slide, as you can see, is a picture of professors. Who among you is wise and understanding? I was the first to go to college in my family, and I had to work and scrape every bit of the way. I revered my professors, and for a while, too long a while, I might add, I drank in every word they said and believed it. It took me a long while to realize that they did not know everything. There was practical information and content knowledge that equipped me to teach, but the knowledge was man's wisdom, not God's. Here is just one example of how man's wisdom led me astray. Now, the college, the university that I went to, happened to be known nationally for humanism. At the time, I didn't even know what humanism was, and I really didn't care. I was studying to be a teacher. But the school of psychology that was so strong at the university I went overflowed to the other departments, especially education. And so there was many of the thoughts and the philosophies that spilled over too. One such particular item which impacted my life was the idea of spanking. You see, I was taught that violence begets violence. Well, now that makes sense to me. If someone is violent, then I can see where that would also cause violence. And what they used was an example of spanking. In other words, if you spanked your child, then that would make your child violent. Well, I certainly didn't want any of my children to be violent. Now, at the time, I wasn't even dating someone, and children were a long way away. But that idea, philosophy, stuck very strong in my head. And when I began to have children, I was convinced that I would not spank. Now, God, in His great sovereignty, helped me greatly to get over that. He gave me 3 of the most independent, strong-willed children on this side of heaven. And so very quickly, God taught me that it was very necessary to believe Him and do it the way He says, and that I was not to spare the rod. There are many other examples that I could tell you, but that's just one. On page 225 of our study book, the author states, "Wisdom is not measured in degrees, but by deeds." Where were you, Susan Heck, when I needed you? The word wise is a common Greek word for speculative knowledge, and the word understanding is used only once in the New Testament. It refers to a specialist or a professional who could skillfully apply his expertise in practical situations. So here is what this means for you and me. The Bible is the source of wisdom, so you must deeply plumb the depths of Scripture. But wait, that is not enough. Then you must depend upon the Holy Spirit and pray that you can skillfully apply it to your life's situations. Here is another practical application. Are you listening? I'm about to save you time. Stop wasting your time seeking wisdom where it is not biblical. Quit using the cafeteria approach to choose wisdom. You know, like when you're at Luby's and you choose a little here and a little there. Be very careful what advice you accept and apply. Everything should be measured by what the Bible says. Yes, I mean everything. Let Him show by His good behavior His deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. I chose this picture of a racehorse because I thought that was a good illustration of gentleness, which is strength under control. Like a racehorse, but way more life-changing. We're going to unpack this verse from the bottom up. Gentleness is the opposite of arrogance or self-promotion. A meek person does not feel a need to fight for his right or acceptance of his personal views. Okay, this merits a timeout right here. Listen again. A meek person does not feel a need to fight for his right or acceptance of his personal views. Does that describe you? And realize that James is telling us here that if we look to a person for wisdom, then their good behavior and deeds should be evident in their life. Is this the qualification that you look for? Our next slide shows a cup of filthy, poisonous water. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. Bitter has the idea of undrinkable water. Add bitter and jealousy, and you have a toxic concoction of a harsh, resentful attitude towards others. Amazingly, the ones we love the most, the husband we devoted our life to, the children we so longed for, the dear friend we cherish, can be the object of our bitterness or jealousy. Ladies, no more than you could stomach one sip of this filthy poison water. Do not allow these to be a part of your thought life or any other aspect of your life. Quench it faster than you would a kitchen fire. Selfish ambitions is a trampling of others. Now, this is a very quick way to kill any Christian testimony. Are you boastful? Stop it. Glory not except in the cross of your precious Lord Jesus Christ. Boasting, ladies, is the companion of lying. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but it's earthly, natural, demonic. I find it rather amusing and practically scary that natural and earthly are considered wonderful terms in our culture. Why, I can go to a grocery store near my house where everything is acclaimed to be natural and earthy. Why, that's considered very healthy, and you even get to pay more for it. But here, earthy has its origin in the world. Worldly wisdom, not concerned with the spiritual world, limited to earth, characterized by humanness, frailty, an unsanctified heart, an unredeemed spirit. Why, oh why, sisters in Christ, would you seek wisdom from an unbeliever? Natural or sensual is from the flesh. Now, I don't know about you, but when I respond in the flesh, it's generally not pretty. In fact, it's downright foolish. This wisdom is where our word psychology comes from. This wisdom is emotional, unstable. Please understand that psychology has its root and source of help in the wrong place. The problem is not sin, and the solution is not Christ. It is rather within oneself. The word demonic, this is generated by Satan's forces. We see it first in the garden. The serpent said to Eve, "Did God really say you couldn't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil?" Can't you almost hear? Titch, titch, titch. Oh my, God is keeping something really good from you. Oh, don't you wish Eve just would have thought or said, "Really, Satan? Really? Have you checked out this paradise I live in? Why, I don't even have to be concerned with my clothes." For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. Please forgive me for the picture of this disorderly, chaotic teenage room. But being the mother of three teenage daughters at one time, I couldn't help but correlate disorder with the image of their rooms at times. Maybe you can relate. Okay, ladies, God is a God of order. Check out His creation. Leave out the part where we've messed it up. Think about the intricacies of a flower, a plant, a mountain, the way the sun rises and sets every day, the way the moon comes up, the cycles of the seasons, fall, then winter, then spring, then summer. God is a God of order. I had a young woman once that came to me, and she was very confused about a church service that she visited. She said it was so disorderly that she couldn't even concentrate or worship. Run, child, run. Confusion is the opposite of harmony. Confusion correlates with disruption, unruliness. Ladies, measure everything you hear and read by God's word. Seriously, clean house. Get rid of this stuff. I can't even find a magazine to buy anymore. Another time and money saver. When you seek counsel from others, evaluate it. Does it measure up to God's word? Don't be lazy. You are the one God holds accountable. You know the saying, moms. Come on, help me out here. Say it with me. If your friends jumped off a cliff, would you do it too? Well, then don't go looking for wisdom where the world does. Every evil thing here is not necessarily intrinsically evil, but worthless. Good for nothing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. Let's unpack this verse. Heavenly wisdom is first pure. If you want to know if the wisdom is from God, then put it through this heavenly grid of this verse. Pure, meaning innocent, free from blame, spiritual integrity, moral sincerity, peaceable, settles disputes rather than provokes. Now, under peaceable, I feel this warrants a warning. Some people seek false peace by evading issues, particularly not wanting to see things as sin issues or of a spiritual source. But true peace may come only at times with confrontation. For example, I have seen parents display this kind of false peace by failure to correct their child, as the greater goal for them is to not rock the boat or to be on good terms with their child. Good luck finding a proverb to back that thought up. True peace does not lower God's standard for the sake of any human relationship or any business venture or anything else. Jesus said, "Do not think I came to bring peace, but a sword." Matthew 10:34. On the other hand, Scripture also says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children." Now that means mothers as well. "Make sure you do not err in either camp." A person who has wisdom from above will not go around stirring up discord, but they will also not ignore sin issues either, but rather address them in a loving, biblical way. Reasonable. This has the meaning of teachable, compliant, willingly submits to even military discipline or moral or legal standards, and full of mercy and good fruits, is the gift of showing concern for those who suffer pain and hardship, and the ability to forgive quickly. unwavering. No indecision about one's commitment to God. No hypocrisy. This describes a person that's the same person at home, at church, everywhere. It denotes a consistent, unwavering person who is undivided in his commitment and conviction and does not make an unfair distinction. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The fruit that is righteousness is the good works that are a result of salvation. Understand that distinction. Ladies, good works do not result in righteousness or salvation. There is no amount of good works that you could do that would result in salvation. It is the other way around. The danger here is, where is your hope of eternal life? Do you plan on entering into heaven based on your deeds? Or do your deeds testify to the changed heart, the redeemed soul that you are now in Christ Jesus because of what He did? It is the most important question you will ever answer or avoid. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us, it's for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and not as a result of works, so that no man may boast. Ladies, you did a good job. You've held off your handout. Let's pull that out and look at it. Now, this has a great deal of questions on this. And there's no way that you can totally internally evaluate this in the small length of time that we have. So I really suggest that you go over this at home and have the Lord search your heart. Whom do you turn to for advice, wisdom? Do you have biblical qualifications for that person that you turn to? Do you need to rethink whom you ask advice from? Remember, you need to look at the evident good behavior and deeds consistent in that person's life. Do you first plumb the depths of Scripture for wisdom, or do you try and take an easier, faster way out? What earthly wisdom have you bought into? Pray about where to clean house in your mind, your philosophies, etc. Would people call you a meek person? Remember, a meek person does not feel the need to defend her rights or acceptance of her personal views. Where has bitter jealousy or selfish ambition entered into your life? Confess this as sin and memorize James 3:14. Do you find yourself boasting about what? Stop it. Instead, use your time and energy only to boast in Jesus Christ. James 4:16. God is the God of order, not confusion. Are there areas of your life that are filled with disorder or confusion? What steps do you need to take to get rid of it? Start today. Put any wisdom you receive through the heavenly wisdom grid. Is it pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy? Is your salvation based on being a good person, trying your best, following the Ten Commandments, being baptized, walking an aisle or saying a prayer, trust in the seven Catholic sacraments, or in any other work, deeds, then you will not be in God's heavenly kingdom. Matthew 7:21-23 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Ephesians 2:8-9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no man can boast." Will you bow with me? Lord, thank you. Thank you that you give us heavenly grids. You give us your word. You tell us all we need for our lives. Lord, help us not to be lazy. Help us to be diligent workers, studying your word, coming before you in prayer, depending upon your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray for any woman that hears this, that if she is trusting in anything but your sacrifice on the cross for her salvation, that she would humbly repent and understand her desperate need for you. Only you, Lord, can take away our sin. Only you have paid the debt that we cannot pay. We praise you, Father, because you alone are worthy to be praised. Amen.